Luke chapter 11. Good to be home. Title message this morning, Jesus the Strong Man. Let's continue where I left off. What we talked last was we talked about prayer. Remember, it's all focused on God. Prayer is all focused on God. I want us to be a church of prayer. I want us to be a people of prayer, that we know God, commune with Him, love God, and we then have the mind of God. It's really, prayer is not to manipulate God, but it's to really help us to trust in Him and seek His face and rely on God. It's so important. Luke chapter 11, verse 14, it says this, "And he, Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was dumb," so couldn't speak. So the man couldn't speak, and so the devil wasn't saying anything either. "And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake." So the person that was possessed, they began to speak, and the people wondered. Let me just give you a little background. I didn't know this. I was just reading, and that there were exorcists, whether they were legitimate or not. It's hard to know, but there were people that would exorcise and remove demons out. Jesus even mentions it with their sons that cast them out. And so the typical thought with exorcism back in the day is you had to get the demon to say its name before you could cast it out. So when the demon wouldn't speak and the man wouldn't speak, and yet Jesus cast him out, that's why they wondered specifically, because they had seen it, whether it was real or not. You know, you have to be so careful even today, whether it's real or not, right? It's don't get caught up into that. Get caught up into the Word of God. Get caught up into truth. People do things today for clicks. People do things today so that it'll get a lot of hits. And so what you want, you just want to be guided by the truth of God's Word. Verse 14 again. And Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, couldn't speak. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered. But some of them said, "He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils." And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. "Show us more, so that we'll really know this is of God." But he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." You see what Jesus is saying? He's like, if I cast out devils through the prince of the devils, then the kingdom's divided in the devil's kingdom. And he says, how shall that kingdom stand? He's just reasoning with them. You gotta be amazed. They accuse Jesus of casting out demons through the power of the devil. And he calmly, and I would suggest lovingly, shares with them and reasons with them. Verse 19, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges." Verse 20, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." And he gives some illustrations here. They're going to be really cool when you understand them. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all the armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils." I believe Jesus is speaking of himself. He's the strong man. He's the one that can whoop on the devil. And so that's the illustration. He says this, verse 23, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." No neutrality in Christianity. Understand this. You're either for him or against him. You're either gathering or you're scattering. There's no neutrality. Verse 24. "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man," he gives another amazing illustration. "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." There's a great truth that we'll get to at the end of the sermon, verses 24 through 26. Title of the message again, Jesus the Strong Man. Turn, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 12. It's a parallel passage. I think it's the same story. The reason I say I think is because Matthew gives us one additional piece of information, but it sure seems to be identical, because when Matthew speaks of this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, he says that this person was blind and dumb. And it could be the same story, because you could say somebody is dumb, you just didn't highlight that they were blind. But look at this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. You'll see the same thing. It'll be good for you to hear it a second time. Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him, unto Jesus, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. It may be a different story, maybe the same. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Gives us some more detail if it's the same, but maybe it's a different story. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be given him, forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's why I really brought you to this passage. It brings out an interesting truth that I just wanted to highlight. That it's the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It's the only time the Scriptures say there is a sin that cannot be forgiven. And so I believe, now, and folks disagree with me, some agree, some disagree, I do not believe the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit can be committed today. And here's why I say that. So in Matthew 12, you'll see that, just look at this, it's that what they ascribed to Jesus, they ascribed that his power to remove demons was by the power of Satan. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit because they did not honor the Holy Spirit. And here's why I don't think it happened today. They saw the very Son of God. They saw God himself doing great and mighty works. And they saw God and they said, that's not of God, it's of the devil. And Jesus said, you can say anything you want against me. That can be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and you say that the work of the Holy Spirit was the devil, and you see, they saw the very Son of God in flesh, and they attributed it to the devil. You see, today, we might think something's of God, and the Bible says the devil is an angel of light, and he can do amazing things. So sometimes it's hard for us to understand, but when you see the very Son of God in the flesh do a mighty work, and you attribute it to the devil, those people could not be forgiven. They committed the unforgivable sin. I personally don't believe that can be happen today, but there's much for us to learn. There's much for us to learn from this passage, and I'm going to take a little bit different angle at it because I think it's just helpful for us to think about these things. Then why did God give us this if you don't think it could be committed, right? It's because it's grievous, and it's a terrible thing to ascribe to God himself evil. We talked about this in Sunday school. God is holy. It was kind of one of the conversations I had in South Africa. They have some things they do, and what they've tried to do is they've tried to Christianize, and it's not our group that we deal with, but it affects them. They tried to Christianize pagan activity. And we try to Christianize pagan activity here all the time so that we feel better about it. But it's evil. And here's the question I ask people all the time. Would God be involved in that? Because God is holy, without sin. He cannot sin. Everything about him is holy. And so to ascribe something to God that's evil, that is terrible. It's horrible. And so just look at a few thoughts I have this morning with this. Associating Jesus with the devil. It probably should say the devil, but Again, my secretary was a little tired, I guess, and that was me. And so when I was doing this, it was probably equivalent to 2 or 3 in the morning, but it was really 8 o'clock. You should have seen me at 8 o'clock last night. Hopefully, and Ron has already cursed me with this. He said, can't wait to see you tomorrow night to see how you hold. That'll be tonight. I'm going to come with Uber energy just tonight, just to overcome that. Suck down some more Diet Mountain Dews, right? I mean, I've been without caffeine for a long time. And so tonight I'll have the energy I will, but I may run out of energy shortly thereafter. But associating Jesus with the devil. But I want you to think about this. If you're a believer this morning and you say, my faith is in Jesus Christ, you've truly turned from your sin, that's the word repentance, and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody in South Africa tells me they're a Christian. I didn't meet one person, not one that told me they didn't believe in Jesus. Not a soul. And I mean, I'm telling you, I was talking to the alcoholics. 10 a.m. on Saturdays, we'd go out into the streets, right? And every man I met, not one was sober. Never met a sober man at 10 o'clock in the morning. And they would say, I believe in Jesus. And I would confront a few of them. And I would say, well, how does that square with the Bible? The Bible says, no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. And one time I did this, I probably shouldn't have done this. Miso, one of the guys I was going around with, he's a senior in high school, super young man. You pray for him. He doesn't believe he's called to preach, but I think he is. And so, what's that mean? And so I told Miso, I said, God's going to use you greatly. He listens, and he's super, super young man. And so he said, don't go over there. He said, don't go over there. I'm like a little kid, right? If you say, don't touch that outlet, I'm like, man, that's all I want to do right now. And he said, don't go over to those people. And I'm like, we're going. And I probably should listen to him, because I don't think I went over really spiritually. I was just like, Miso. Because, you know, I told some of the guys this. You know, if I heard once, I heard 100 times, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I got tired of hearing it's dangerous. I said, you know, nothing's dangerous unless God allows it to be dangerous. I said, so, you know, that doesn't give us a right to be foolish, but I got tired of hearing it's dangerous. And so I just said, you know what, we need to have wisdom. But I said, I'm invincible. So then I started saying this awfully. I said, I'm invincible until God says I'm not. I think it would be a great thing for a guy like me to get killed over in South Africa. It'd be great attention, and I think it would change some things. And I said, somebody has to die over some of these issues. And I've prayed it'll be one of you. But it's, so I said that. So I went over there and started talking to these guys, and they were a little rough. They were all drinking, but everybody's drinking. But it was like 8 of them. And one guy, he was most South Africans aren't that big, so I was bigger than most people, but this guy was kind of my size. And he stood up, and he was, you know, just barking a little bit, and I was just, you know, interacting with him. And so finally I said, well, you know, the Bible says no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he got right in my face. And he said, oh, you're getting nervous now. And I said, no, I'm not. I probably was. And I thought, man, this guy's going to hit me. And I said, that's not going to help the cause of Christ. I don't want to be hit. Just kill me, man. And I don't want to be killed either, really. But just make it fast if you're going to do it. But this guy told me before that, he said he was a believer. Everybody I meet over there, they say, oh, I believe in Jesus. And yet nothing in their life reflects that. Of these 80 seniors, they call them matric students, they were taking their final exams to graduate from high school. Super important certificate. Unemployment rate in the townships is 93%. And you don't get this certificate, you won't get a job. And so very important, very stressful for them. But first day I was there, I said, how many of you will tell me tonight, you say, I believe in Jesus. I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I forget how I said it. All 80 hands were raised. I mean, without exception. A phrase that's commonly said is, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Right? I do love this, that when I was finished with them, most of them knew they weren't Christians. And it was a joy. You see, I don't go over there to be mean. I go over there, you need to understand the truth, and you need to understand how good God is. And God loves you in spite of your sin. But I'm telling you this, God will save you from your sin, and he will change your life. Everybody tells me they're a Christian. So I tell you this, associating Jesus with the devil, but here's the issue. Oh, Christian, we say we're a Christian. And do you know this? We associate Jesus with sin when we sin. Which is worse? for people to say, oh, Jesus, he's a sinner, or for people to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and we behave terribly, and we give people an excuse, I'm not a Christian because I've seen so many Christians not behave right. You see, it's easy for us to say, how dare them ascribe Jesus' power to the devil. I want to tell you this. We then, when we sin, we say this. Being a Christian makes no difference at all. You can have your sin and Jesus too. I'm not telling you that you become perfect when you're a Christian. Oh, but Christian, we should be distinct. We should be clearly different. God will make us different, but there is so much pressure. There's so much peer pressure here. And I want to understand America better because I think I might be in this culture. So it was easier. You know, when you drop into a culture, it's easy to see and go, what in the world? And I think I was right. News bulletin, you know. But I told him, I said, I have fresh eyes and this is ridiculous. And a couple things. And I want them to come here and look at us and go, I have fresh eyes and this is ridiculous. We are lulled to sleep. What have we bought into that brings reproach to Christ, that dishonors him? I want to tell you, it's easy for us to say, oh, Pharisee, how evil of you to ascribe evil to Jesus. Oh, Christian, how terrible of us. We claim to know Christ, and yet we walk in sin. It ought to bother us. It ought to bother us, and we ought to seek the face of God. And you know this? Just stop it. It's that easy, oh, Christian. God has given us all we need to overcome sin. How dare we ascribe evil with Jesus and be a follower? There's just two thoughts that also in verses 14 to 20, the need for unity. Do you see this? We talked this a lot in 1 Corinthians right before I left. But it says, every kingdom, look at verse 17, divided against itself, is brought to desolation. Here's what I want us to be united on. I want us to be united. I mean, I could have a whole list. I want us to be united on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did God plant churches? He planted churches so that we would reach the world for Jesus Christ. He planted churches so that we can go, so that we can teach, so that we can go reach people that'll never enter into a church building. I tell you this all the time. Church services are for those that follow Jesus. Now, we have lost people in here this morning, and I'm thrilled. There's some people that don't know you're lost. But church services are for the sheep. We are to go. And so I want you to know this. Let's stay unified. Let's not worry about this and worry about that and worry about this. And we're super blessed. But it was one of my greatest concerns leaving for 5 weeks. What was the devil going to do? And I haven't heard that the devil did anything great, but that also makes me nervous because he's subtle. So I don't know what's going on in our hearts and our minds. So if you're starting to get aggravated with people, you're starting to, you know, just talk about people, the devil's getting you off track. The Bible says, forbear one another. We ought to love one another. And so it's important. We're here. Never forget this. He established his churches so that we would reach the world and tell the world the message they don't know. I ask all these students, why should God let you in heaven? Not one of them knew. They'd all heard about the cross, but they didn't understand. The world doesn't know. I mean, we can have a parade of lights downtown Fairfield, and there was not one float that we saw that had anything to do with Christianity. Maybe there was. I missed it. But you know, it's all about the Grinch. It's all about Elsa. It's all about, you know, the abominable snowman and everything else. That's what Christmas has become to the world. But they all know there's something about Jesus. And so pass out flyers, people. Invite them, say, we want you to know why Jesus came. Jesus isn't a babe in a manger anymore, but he was born of man. Do you have any idea why he was born of a human? Do you have any idea why? And maybe they'll say, no, I don't. Then you share it with them. If you don't know why, come talk to me. I'll show you the scriptures that explain why Jesus had to be born of a human. Born under the law. So we want to explain that to folks. And so unity is important. But then this is look at verse 20 just quickly, and I'll move on to my next point. He says this, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. You know what he was saying? You need to take Jesus seriously. He told him this. He said, understand this. If It's by the finger of God that I do these things. He was saying this, you need to take me seriously. Jesus was saying, you need to take me serious. He said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. I will tell you, if you listen to one thing this morning, are you taking Jesus seriously? Am I taking Jesus seriously? Do we just kind of go along with life and we forget that if Jesus is who he said, are we living for him? If Jesus is who he said, are we honoring him? If Jesus is who he said, have we truly been born again? A lot of our children in here, you sit in here week after week, month after month, and your heart is getting hardened. You refuse to just listen to the gospel. The devil has you fooled. Every single one of us, we need to take Jesus seriously. If he is who he said he is, then the kingdom of God has come unto us. You see, this isn't about religion. This is about one person, Jesus Christ. Are we taking him seriously? If we take him seriously, God will use us. Second thing I want you to see, do we believe Jesus is stronger than the devil? You know, just look at verse 21 and 22. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Jesus is just telling this. There's a stronger than he. There's a stronger one than the devil. You must understand this. And they have wrought, they had fought with the devil because they had tried to be exorcists. And so they understood this. And so here's what, do we, you know, you notice I have all caps there. Do we believe Jesus is stronger than the devil? Every single one of you would say, yes. You know, yes, I believe Jesus is stronger than the devil. Then you know this, how come we can't overcome sin? We Christians accept way too much sin, way too much just lackadaisical attitudes. I want to show you one of my favorite verses. Todd got me onto this verse some time ago. I've highlighted this for you, but I want to highlight it again for you. This is one of my favorite passages about overcoming sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6. I want you to just listen. Here's what it says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I want you to know this. Our battle is not with the flesh. Our battle is with, it's a spiritual battle. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or with this body, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We can overcome this. So here's the first step. Casting down imaginations. You know where sin starts? Right here. You know what I tell you to do? Bad thought? Cast it down. Immediately, cast it down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that enters in, cast it down. Cast it down. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Guys, computers were created after our minds. Garbage in, garbage out. You think on garbage, garbage will come out. You dwell on garbage, that's what will come out. You dwell on garbage, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. For out of the heart, out of the mouth proceedeth the things of the heart. And so first it's get this mind, right? Philippians 4:8 would be good. Think on the good things. But here's what he said. We need to understand we're not just, our battle's spiritual, and having in a readiness to revenge. I think I've showed you this before. I love asking Christians this. Is it ever right for a Christian to have revenge? Yes. Is it ever right for a Christian to have revenge? Is it ever right for a Christian to have revenge? Anthony was right. I want you to understand this. It's never right for us to have revenge against a person. Okay? Make sure you understand me correctly. Because I've thrown some South Africans into a tizzy with different things. And we had meetings, and it was all good. I'm telling you, it's never right. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But there is something you can have revenge against. And it's not a person. Look at this. And having in a readiness to revenge. Are you ready to revenge? All disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. Do you get what that verse is saying? Oh, do you want to have revenge on your foolish sin in the past? Do you want to have revenge on the things that you regret? You know how you do that? When you obey. You want to have revenge against the bad choices, the sin in the past? Then we have revenge. You follow what I'm saying? We never have revenge against a person. But in having a readiness to revenge all disobedience, I love it. You want to have revenge against your failures of the past? Then obey today. You can't change yesterday. Oh, we all wish we had like 10 minutes and we could split them up into 15-second increments, right? My life would be different if I had 15-second increments. What's yours? I can't stand it when people go, would you change anything about their life? They go, I would never change anything about my life. I'm like, well, you aren't thinking. I would change a whole bunch, starting with sin, and so I wouldn't have enough 15-second increments in 10 minutes. But I can't change yesterday, can I? I can't. But I'll tell you, you want to have revenge against your foolish sin in the past? It is obedience to the Lord. Now, I want you to understand this, because I don't want you to be confused. Obedience is not what gets us to heaven. Christ did all the work, and he saves us by faith. But then my life is to be a life that glorifies and honors him. I want you to know this. The reason I live today, for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. I told everybody, right? I don't know why I say this. You know I'm kind of morbid. I said, you know my best day? So the students knew this after I taught them for enough time. They'd say, when you die, you know, they had this accent with it when they spoke English. But they all said I had an accent too. But I got them to understand this. I said, I can't wait to die because it only gets better. I gain, you know, but I love living for me to live as Christ. Here's what the Bible suggests. Oh, Christian, if you're living for anyone but Christ, what a dud. You've bought the lie of the devil. And so be creative how you want to honor Christ. But I want you to know this. Have it linked back to the gospel. What are you doing that links back to Jesus Christ, links back to his gospel? And there's all kinds of ways. But, you know, when we talk about this, we talk about do we believe Jesus is stronger than the devil? If we really do, then we'll have victory over sin. There is no spiritual neutrality. Just look at verse 23. Look at verse 23 here. It says this. It says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You see this? If you're not gathering, you're scattering. There's no in-between. And so my just simple thought here is, do something for Jesus. What are you doing for Jesus? Now, there's a lot of do-goodism in this world. Do-goodism. People do good and they help people. I'm all for that. But we as Christians should never just help people. We should help people and then teach them eternal truth. You follow me? So everything we do something for Jesus. I'm telling you, it's been minimized. If you leave today and you don't have any idea how you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ, how about you getting hold of prayer? We need prayer so badly. There is spiritual warfare, and we need prayer warriors. I would love to know. So you don't have to tell me right now, but tell me today. Tell me this week. If you consider yourself a prayer warrior, I want to know that. Now, I know, be humble about it. And so some of you prayer warriors, I want to know this. Who's praying? We need a church of prayer. We have 45 minutes on Wednesday night. That's not enough, but it's to remind us of our need for Christ. If you don't know what else to do, we sure do need prayer. We need to be seeking the Lord's face and seeking his honor and seeking his will and seeking his glory in all things. We need more prayer. I wonder, is it our prayer or lack of it that's not allowing us to reach Fairfield the way we could? Jesus had 11 bumpkins. And they did more than anybody else. It's not about your ability. It's about your submission to the King of Kings. There's no neutrality. Are you gathering or are you scattering? There's no neutrality. I want to ask you this. What are you doing for the Kingdom of God? And what can you do for the Kingdom of God? There are churches full of people that aren't doing anything but going to church and trying to be good. Christianity is not about trying to be good. It's about honoring Jesus Christ. And we let our good works shine before men, but it's so that Christ might be exalted. There is no spiritual neutrality. Jesus is teaching them this. There's a ton of truth. Then my final thought, and so it's this. Jesus didn't come to empty, but to fill. Look at this. This is so powerful in verses 24 to 26. You see this. He says, when the unclean spirit, so he goes through this, and he's teaching them that it's not about emptying yourself or stopping doing things. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, I talk to people all the time. I met a guy. It was one of my favorite moments of, I may have mentioned this on one of the times I had Sunday morning. And I can't pronounce their names, it's so bad. And Luandile, that's what his name, Luandile, that's how you say his name. And so he came to church for the first time. And then there was a men's meeting after church. And they wanted me to just teach on Bible studies, and I was teaching the men on Bible studies, and you know how I get in their face, because it's just me and the men, I love that. And this guy, he was first time ever, he goes, because you know I'm kind of a little bit enthusiastic and out there, he goes, "Well, why should I believe you and not all the other religions?" Oh, man. I had a ball. And so I just thought, well, God opened the door. I think I was supposed to take 10 minutes. It was 45 minutes. Because this guy, it was okay, I think. It was okay. But I don't know. I was late for the next time I preached, but they waited. But what I was able to do, I thought, they want this guy. This guy asked all the right questions. And so then he came back. I had 3 more Bible studies with him. I've got him on WhatsApp. And here's what he kept telling me. He no longer drinks. You think his life is better? Oh, yeah. But he thought that's what was going to get him to heaven. I said, "Hey, I'm so thankful that you're not drinking." I said, "Is your life better?" He said, "Absolutely." I said, "Man, that is so good, but that's not going to get you to heaven." You see, Jesus didn't come to empty, but to fill. You follow what he's teaching them? He's teaching them this. That's not what it's about. Removing demons is not what it's about. You see, look at verse 24. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none, because he's seeking rest in everything but Jesus Christ. He's seeking rest and findeth none. He says, "I will return it to my house whence I came out." You see, if you are just trying to be a better person, that will ultimately give you emptiness, because it's only peace in Jesus Christ. Your life may be better, but you still will not have the peace that passes understanding unless you know Jesus Christ personally. Here's what happens. You'll go about, and he said this, look at verse 25, "And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. He findeth his old house." Wow, it's all nice and neat. "And then he goeth and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first." Jesus has given them the truth. They were so in awe. They wondered, it said. Didn't use that word here? It said, look at this in verse 14. "And the people wondered." Whoa. Whoa. And he was teaching them, it's not what it's about. You see, Jesus didn't come to make us better people. He came to save us from our sins so that we might glorify him. I want you to know this. When Jesus saves, I'm going to say this, it could come across wrong to people that don't understand. We become better people. But it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. And so I will never say I'm a better person, but I'm a better person because of Christ. You Christians understand that. But that's not why he saved us. He didn't save us to keep us out of hell. He gives us eternal life. He saved us because he loves us so that we might serve and honor him. And one of the great fringe benefits is that we will not be punished for our sins. You see, we get in awe of all the wrong things. And they wandered. Whoa. Look at him. He removed one of the demons that none of our guys could. What's up with that? And Jesus said, that's not really what it's all about. I could empty you of all these things. Unless you're filled with me, unless your faith is in me, it'll mean nothing. And in due time, you'll go back. And it'll be worse than it was at the beginning. You see, if all you have is religion, you'll chuck it. Because religion is empty. I meet former religious people all the time. They still hold on to religion, whether it's Roman Catholicism, whether it's Islam, whether it's Hinduism. I've met former Baptists, right? I'm just not picking on all the other false religions. But they, see, all they had was religion. See, he didn't come to make you a better person. That's not the objective. Oh, you become a better person because of Christ, because of his goodness. But I want you to know this. I'm not imploring you to be a better person. I'm imploring you to know Christ, to pursue him, and to honor him, and fill your life, fill your mind, fill your heart with Christ. You want to be filled, fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with Christ. And so I ask you this, are you? If you are, you will have the stronger man and you'll overcome sin like never before. Sin's not that difficult. I had a young man, he WhatsApped me, and he said, pray for me. A young man, I mean, this guy, he came up to me every night after the service. Man, he was a sweet young man. He was saved. He was saved before he came to camp and gave a testimony about being saved. But what do you think he texted me about? What do you think he texted me? What would a young man text me about? Absolutely. Absolutely. Young, old, doesn't matter. Man, I loved his sincerity. And I was able to tell him, I said, you can overcome this because of Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Are you filling your life with Christ? Are you dominated with Christ? Is Christ truly the love of your life? Or do you just have religion? He'll change you. He'll use you. And he'll give you victory. But your life will be more difficult. Because if you begin to submit to the Lord and to serve him, the devil will take notice and difficulty will happen. A lot of things have happened in South Africa with all the missionaries that we know. You know, Josh Sullivan got kidnapped back in April. Some really crazy things have happened that I can't say on the internet that are just attacks of the devil. Right? There's some men that were prominent. Not American missionaries. It could be American missionaries as well. Some men that are prominent. They were training these men, and they were great, great men, great young men, and they did some horrible things. One young man, I won't name his name here, but I met with him and I told him, because he was saying, you know, people just won't forgive me. And there's debate on what he had done, but some are accusing him of rape. And I said, you have to embrace that you'll be viewed as a rapist the rest of your life. Can you do that and serve Jesus? I said, I doubt you'll ever be a pastor. Can you accept that you'll be viewed as a rapist the rest of your life and serve Jesus? I said, you still have the best things in life. I said, you can pursue Christ and walk with Christ and abide in Christ. There's nothing better than that. Amen? If we really believe that, our lives would be different. And I said, second, there's nothing that'll keep you from pursuing souls. But you have to understand that some Christians will just view you as, and they won't allow it. And I said, why don't you embrace that and say, if that's what the Lord has for me, I'll be accountable, and I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm not going to be bitter at anybody. I'm not going to be unhappy with anybody. I'm just going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to honor him from this point on. And yes, I did a horrible, terrible thing, whether it was rape or not, right? What he did was terrible, horrible. And I said, you just need to embrace the forgiveness of God and not worry about how people will label you. You see, make his life about Jesus. You understand this? On my worst day, nobody can take this from me. I can behave in such a way that you all should remove me from the pastorate, or if I'm right with God, I would step down from the pastorate, right? But I want you to know this. You can never take the greatest parts of my life. I can know Christ. It's that good. I want you to understand this. That's the hope of the world. It's the hope of a church. It's the hope of you. I'm not trying to beat you up when I said, you know, how come you're not overcoming sin? Because I don't believe our focus is on Christ well enough. You understand that? Christ will give us victory. It's all about him. Be dominated. Be filled. Follow him. And your life will be different, but it'll be harder. Can we handle the tests? Can we handle the battles? Oh, Christian, if we get right with God, expect trouble. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know what I'm bothered with? I don't have a lot of trouble. Tried to encourage him in South Africa. I said, you're having trouble because the devil's not all-knowing and he doesn't know what's coming up, but he can see some things that you're doing and he's nervous, so he's going to try to derail you and he's going to cause problems. Let's rejoice in problems, keep our eyes on Christ, and love one another. Amen? I beg you, oh, Hope Baptist Church, I am stirred. I am encouraged, but I'm not wanting to be the same person that I left 5 weeks ago. I want to come back. I want it to begin with me. I love you. I will tell you, I don't know of any other pastor. I've got the best people of any other preacher I've ever met. And I think we can do great things for God if we just get our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. If we get our eyes away from everybody else, away from the skirmishes in your families or whatever. Because guess what? This is Thanksgiving week, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of trouble this week. Love them no matter what. Right? I mean, I love my son. But I'll tell you this, I armor plate. He's like, beep, 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 beep. He can push my buttons. And I'm like, hi, yeah. By God's grace, it won't get to me. Used to. Still can. But let's embrace the work. We have one life to live. Let's live it for Jesus. I'll finish with this. If you're lost this morning, much of what I said doesn't make sense. I want you to examine your heart. Do you love Jesus? See, that's really the question. Do you love Jesus? Have you truly turned and surrendered in faith to Him? Christians, let's again renew our commitment to Christ, that we would put our faith in the stronger man, that we would no longer be scattering, but we'd be gathering, that we would be filled with Him in all things. Let's pray.